Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Hello, my name is Andrew McKinley, and today is July 26, 2018, and I'm here interviewing Pam Vogt, who is retiring from Mid-Continent Public Library after how many years?
Almost 14.
14 years. Okay, well, Pam, when did you start with Mid-Continent?
Actually, October 2004.
Okay, October 2004. And what position did you come in as?
I came in as a circulation clerk at the Antioch branch.
And circulation clerk, was that full-time or part-time?
Yes.
Full-time.
Full-time.
Okay, and what did you do as a circulation clerk?
And I'm not real sure that's what the title was back then, but that's but I remember it being something like that. And what we did was we worked the desk, so we checked books in and out for the customers, helped them place holds, went and found books for them, did a lot of reader's advisory. But we also, part of my duties were to, I did story times every week, and we had, I also had, was part of a new project to pull out books from the juvenile collection and turn them into young adult books. So I had to go through all the juvenile collection and make sure if they were appropriate for juvenile or young adult.
So was that the beginning of having a young adult section at all then?
I'm not sure if it was in place and they were just tweaking it, or if it was pretty new. I think it was kind of a newer thing they were doing.
Okay, okay. And then as far as like circulation, this would be after the card catalog, I assume.
Yes, so we used Workflow's computer program.
Okay, so Workflow's the same program we're still using now, we were using in 2004.
Yes, it was a different interface, but it was still called Workflows. And you had a barcode scanner, so we scanned the books in to their account and their cards.
Okay. And so it worked similarly to how we do it now, or?
Yeah, it's pretty similar.
Okay. Well, we have the RFID now, but then it was just the barcode.
Right.
But it was also after the handwritten note cards in the books as well, right?
Yes. We didn't have any, no handwriting.
Okay, and that, did no you do stamping. The stamping on the back? The
we did have date due stickers that we put on the back of the book.
Okay, so we did still do stamping the stickers on the back.
Yes,
with the date
for
due.
A short while.
Yeah,
and we were removing a lot of those too because they would have like 50 stickers on the backs of some of those juvenile books.
Well, and who is the manager at Antioch when you joined the library?
John Jasonback.
Okay. Okay. And because I guess he has since moved to South Independence.
Yes.
What was the hiring process like back then?
I actually interviewed at Riverside for a part-time job with Patrice Nolette, who's still there as a manager, and Vicki Baker. And then Patrice called me like a week later and said, "We want to offer you the job, but I have to tell you there's a full-time position at Antioch going to be available. And I can just hold this position in case you don't get that one. But Antioch's a lot closer to your house and it's full-time." And the rest is history. I did get the job at Antioch.
Okay. Were you looking for full-time work at that point?
Yes. And there was a rule in place where if you accepted a part-time position, you couldn't become a full-time position for 9 months.
Okay.
So they didn't want to hold me back from being a full-timer for 9 months if there was a good spot for me as a full-timer.
Okay. So, well, and that rule changed after that.
Yes,
because
it's changed
I had a similar experience. Okay, so then you took the full-time job at Antioch, and you said you also did story time. What was story time like in 2004?
I did time for twos, so it was a lot of finger plays and maybe three or four short books I would read, a lot of songs, and we always had a craft time, which was maybe 10 minutes of them putting stickers on a page or attempting to color, because they were two. So we had very simple crafts, but the parents helped, and it was fun.
Did you come up with all of the content for the story times yourselves, or did you get input from headquarters at that point?
You could get some guidance if you wanted. We were supposed to do a theme, and there weren't a lot of rules about it back then. It was just so you had a theme and you had, a few finger plays, a few songs, and a couple stories. That was kind of the guidelines we got. Plus, I had worked at Daniel Boone Regional Library for about 7 years and had done story time there, so I was familiar with how to, run a story time with 2-year-olds. And so that was a big advantage.
Okay, so you already were a storytime expert
Yeah,
this
sort
time.
of. The funnest thing I did was John allowed me to bring in my Yorkie Pebbles that I had at the time, and I did a story time about dogs and, gave fair warning to the parents the week before that there would be a live dog at the story time. And again, during the story, the beginning of the story time, I said, we have a live dog who's going to participate in the last story. So if your children have any fears of dogs, they can leave. None did. And so she came in, and I had a story that was called My Dog Talks. And Pebbles could speak on command, could bark on command. So throughout the book, the dog speaks and it does tricks, like it rolls over, it sits up and begs. And every time it did a trick, she would do the trick and she would speak, during the story time. And the kids just loved it. And she jumped up on my lap and they all came and mauled her. And she was very happy, good-natured dog about it all. And so that was a big success and very fun to do.
That sounds fun. I wonder if they would be able to do that nowadays.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But you said you had told the parents beforehand. Like in 2004, did we have story times posted on the website? Did we even have a web presence at that point? Did you know?
We did have a web presence.
Okay.
In fact, the web presence was, I remember linking to the Juvenile Series and Sequels database when I was at Daniel Boone.
Okay, so that existed that
Yes.
far back.
I was setting up computers at Daniel Boone Regional Library, and all our public computers had a link to that on their desktop because it was very popular even back in the 90s.
Oh wow. I didn't realize it went back that far.
Yeah.
So as far as, I guess, notifying people that you were bringing a dog, was there a way to do that other than just telling the parents the week before?
It was just telling the parents the week before,
Okay.
Your regulars. And they might, we had a sign-up sheet where they had to either call or sign up in the branch for story time so you would get an idea how many people were coming so you could have the right number of crafts made up and that kind of thing. So they would say to the people when they signed up, oh, next week there's going to be a dog there. So just to let them know.
And what was, I'm thinking, in 2004, the library director would have still been Mr. White, I
Yes,
think.
that's correct.
What was the library culture like when you started at MCPL, your first impressions?
The one thing that I was surprised by was there wasn't really a true HR department. For as many employees as we had, that seemed really surprising. But everything else was, seemed like things ran very smoothly and was a good organization. Did not seem like there were a lot of headquarters positions for the size of the organization at that time, because really there weren't. I mean, there was Vicki and John were regional managers, and there were a few other departments, but after I got hired, they hired a person specifically for finance. They hired
Was
someone.
that Quan? Like, was he
Yes,
the
it was.
first?
Yeah, Steve had a position that was like, was split when he became assistant. his position was split into like three different positions.
Assistant director?
Yes. When he became assistant director, some of the positions he had before that were split up because it was too much for one person.
Mm-hmm. As a branch person in that time, did you have a lot of dealings with headquarters?
No.
Okay. So whether it was like HR insurance type stuff or story time stuff, there just wasn't...
No. And I was only at the branch for about a year. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't... I didn't have a lot of interaction with with headquarters. Now, they did come through every week or every once a month for their tour. So we would know they were in the building and they would say hi to you if you were at the desk and stuff like that. But there wasn't a lot of interaction from the staff. More with the managers had more interaction with headquarters.
Do you remember, since you were only at the branch for a year, are there any memories of coworkers or the public interactions you had that stand out for better or worse?
Well, we did have, it was interesting, we had a group that would come in on a shuttle or a bus of some sort, and they were like adults with some handicaps. And so they would come in and on maybe a weekly basis, and staff would help them find books and they'd leave. But I do remember them stopping in as a group. That was always kind of interesting. And I think they probably go more out of their way to help them now than they may have done back then.
Mm-hmm.
But not really anything in particular stands out.
And so when you left Antioch, where did you go and how?
Position came up for training workflows and software like Word and Excel and those kinds of things. So I had done a lot of training at Daniel Boone, so I applied for that position. I was interviewed by Steve Potter and Amy Cavanis.
And their positions at the time were Steve was the assistant director and Amy was...
Steve was assistant director yet.
Okay. Do you know what his position would have been at that point?
I can't remember what it was.
Was Amy still the electronic resources manager?
She was brand new in the electronic resources manager. In fact, I think that was one of the new positions that they created. I'm sure it was.
Her position was
newly created. Mm-hmm. And then she had a trainer and... like a office assistant under her at that time.
Okay. Do you remember?
And they were both under Todd before that, but Todd's position as library systems manager had too much going on with maintaining the system to manage that.
So they adjusted his position and moved those two jobs underneath Amy.
Right.
And do you remember who was in those positions?
Lori Strong, maybe? First name was Lori, and the other clerical assistant was Gail Schmidt.
Okay, who's now in marketing.
Right.
Okay, and so you interviewed with Steve and Amy, and then got the position.
Yes.
And what was it like transitioning to headquarters?
It was interesting. There was some things that the Antioch staff was like, oh, now that you're up there and you're in the know, do they talk about us all the time? Because aren't we the bad, you know, the stepchild? And I'm like, no, they really don't. I'm sorry. They're too busy with everything they're trying to keep track of. You know, there's a lot going on. So, and there was a lot of changes that first year. I think that first year was the year we started doing e-time, which was electronic time cards. I got hired, we hand wrote your time card. And you just wrote down, I worked 8 hours. There was no clocking in and clocking out. There was no clocking out for lunch. It was just, I worked 8 hours on this day. Mm-hmm. Or I took vacation or sick leave. You just wrote it down and then you handed it in to your manager and they sent it up to headquarters. Which my understanding was there were two people in IT that actually entered all the data into our payroll system. And then it went to the payroll clerks who had to make sure everything was right and check it against and make sure that it your checks were properly assigned for the right number of hours. Because at that time, your check could change. I can't remember. Maybe not. Maybe
okay, the so they weren't doing like the 12 salary months. They were doing actual hourly.
You know, I think it was salary months. Okay. But they made sure how many hours you had and all of that. They kept track of all of that so that if you left, you would be paid correctly. Mm-hmm. But it took 2 weeks for them to process the pay cards. So that's why we only got paid once a month, because it took 2 weeks to do it. So they're like, if we did it, then we would have to, someone would be working on payroll 24/7. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. They only paid once a month.
Yeah.
But we switched to eTime, which fell under me to train the staff to use eTime. I had some help from Teresa, who was newly hired.
Teresa Johnson?
Yes, Teresa Johnson was newly hired between me and the eTime thing, and she helped with training some of the branches on that. But that was a big transition. And shortly after that, maybe a year later, they brought on Barbara Jo because it was getting to be, everyone wanted a lot more training than we could supply. Mm-hmm. So Barbara Jo came on. Plus, at that time, it was a huge hiring. We were just hiring a lot of people.
And it was you and Lori were the trainers?
No, Lori had quit.
Okay.
So it was just me.
Okay.
Right. And Gail was the office assistant, but she didn't really have anything to do with my job at all. She helped Amy with the database booklet, which I think was fairly new. And so a lot of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so you were having to train on workflows and eTime.
And Word and Excel. We had classes on, I don't think we had PowerPoint yet at that beginning.
Did you train on the public website or the research databases?
They were a small part of our workflows training. When we started workflows training was an all-day class. Started about 9 in the morning, and hopefully we got done at 5. Sometimes it went over a little bit if you had questions. And keeping their attention span that long in a row was a challenge as well.
And you were the electronic resources trainer for about 10 years or so?
Yes, about 10 years.
Okay. And you, I guess the next big change as a resource trainer would be probably when the second trainer was hired?
Yes. And then another reason the second trainer was hired was because we were going to switch from the C client workflows to Java client workflows, which is just a totally different interface, but it meant all of our circulation employees had to go through training again. So we did that.
And so that's why you got a second trainer.
That's why we got a second trainer. To help prep, create all the practice pieces that we needed, you know, books and things that we use on the training server. We also got a specific training server just for training. When I was first hired, we had a test server that Todd would use as well. And when I first got hired, you had to manually set everything up the day before. So you had to go in and check books out so that it was, so that they would be overdue, so the next day they could see what an overdue book looked like. And so I had probably about 2 hours of prep work every, maybe even three, depending on what kind of problems I ran into setting it up. And in that first year, Todd was able to work with me and create scripts or reports that would set up many of the things for us. And they still use those scripts now, mm-hmm. because now you just run a couple reports and it's all ready for you to go in the morning. So it's not, or most of it, there's still some manual setup required for everything because there's just some things the computer can't quite get right.
Yeah.
So. But so, they took a lot of that off our plate, too.
Okay. Were you involved much when... Well, I assume Kathy Jo was the next trainer hired.
Yes, Kathy Jo Anderson now. She was Kathy Jo Robb at the time.
Yes. Were you involved in either the hiring or the prep work for her to... Or for the new trainer at that point before, you know, you knew it was her?
No, I wasn't involved in the interviewing or in any of that. That was all left up to Amy. And I'm not sure who interviewed, who helped her interview for that. I know there was more than one person that interviewed.
Mm-hmm. But, and so what was it like when Kathy Jo arrived?
It was very nice. She's a very sweet girl. And she was quite a bit younger than me. In fact, she's almost exactly the same age as my oldest children. And so she had a really good relationship with her mother, so she got a good relationship with me, and we worked out very well. It was, it worked out very nice.
Mm-hmm. And since part of the reason she was hired is because you had to do that bulk of workflows training.
Right.
Did you have to... do extra training for her? I mean, she was an internal hire.
Yes, she was. And she had a lot of workflows experience, so that helped a lot. And, you know, I also had the workflows training experience from Daniel Boone because we had used workflows there, and I had been on the training committee when they first went into that system. So that helped. And she was, I mean, she was very intelligent, so... You know, she was very easy to, you didn't have to tell her things three or four times, you know, she'd get it right away, so.
Yeah. How did that go, retraining all of the branches?
It was a big job, and we had some branch managers who came in and did some of the trainings for us, because the lab pretty much had someone training all day, every day. It was still an all-day class for all the existing staff. And it was interesting because some of the staff realized they'd been doing things wrong all along. So, you know, you do something and then you find a little trick to do it different, and pretty soon you're not doing it at all the same as it was trained. So, so they learned a lot, not only about the new interface, but also about the inner workings of the library computer system in general. So that was nice. That we also, at that time, we implemented a new process which involved going back out to the branches and reviewing the information with each staff member about 3 or 4 months after they'd been trained. Just to give them, they've had time to use it, they've had time to get used to it. What are your questions now? Are you still doing this the way we train? Do you think there's a better way? And, you know, some of that, those kinds of questions. And so that became a model for our workflows classes after Java training. We maintained that review to this day. The trainers still do the review. Now, at the time, the reviews were done by Amy Cavanis, and the some of the branch managers.
I was about to ask, because I thought I remembered Amy came and did mine. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, because maybe I'm remembering Amy as Kathy Jo.
No, Amy did them for several years, okay. And then her schedule just got crazy, and she kept getting farther and farther behind on them. So we're like, we can do it. So we took over.
And so by that time, are we now in, the age of Dick Wilding being the library director?
Yes.
And do you remember anything about that transition in culture and leadership between Mr. White and Mr. Wilding?
Mr. White seemed to be, I had an impression of him being more authoritarian, I guess the word is, I'm not sure. He had specific ideas, and he wanted things to go his way, and people respected him. But with Mr. Wilding, he was more laid back, you know, what ideas do you have? What do you think should happen? And he'd take all that into consideration. He seemed to be a little more open. And Steve was the assistant manager, so I think Steve was instrumental in keeping everything focused and getting the things done, it really helped. They were a good team.
Did you have much interaction with that sort of senior admin team?
Not. It was more just as noticing, you know, when you go to branches, what people, you know, how people react. And because we did have, as a trainer, one of the other things we did was, I don't remember when, but at some point after Java training, we started doing branch visits where we would go to a branch, spend a day there, and just work the desk and or the back room wherever they needed circulation help, so that would help Kathy Jo and I keep our everyday skills sharp, but it would also allow us to see how branches, the workflow is at different branches, because the difference between Lee Summit, you know, which is doing a million circulations a year, and, you know, maybe Blue Springs North, or, you know, some of the medium-sized branches, and then the tiny branches like Lone Jack and Weston, there's a big difference in the flow of the branches and how much time the staff have and how they organize those flows. So, you know, when you're training, you want to make sure, no matter who's in the class, that they're getting the information they need. So that was very helpful to us.
And so your relationship with branches and branch staff, did you notice a change before and after you started doing those branch visits, or how they viewed you or how you viewed them?
Yes. In the beginning, they were very suspicious that we were there to spy on them. And after about a year, they were like, oh, they don't go back and say anything to anybody, because we didn't report anything. I mean, if there was something that they were doing that was totally inappropriate, we'd go to the manager and say, hey, look, your staff is doing it this way, and it really should be done this way. And we just left it up to them to handle it. We didn't go to their boss or anyone else, you know. And most of the time, you know, I don't remember a single time when the manager wasn't like, oh, we didn't realize that, we'll get on it, we'll fix that. That was the only thing that that they really, it took a little while to build that trust that we weren't going to, you know, they were a little nervous. And then once that fell away, they were fine.
What about your relationship? Because in electronic resources at the time, it was yourself, Kathy Jo, Barbara Jo, and Amy.
Right.
Your relationship with the other departments at headquarters, did you have a lot of, I mean, since they didn't do workflows, most of them, did you have any interaction really with the other departments?
Not very much, really. Occasionally, they would have something that they would want to be trained, like the booking module was trained. Kathy Jo took that part on. Marketing came to us and wanted us to have staff trained on Publisher, but they wanted specific things trained about Publisher. So I was the Publisher. I did the Publisher classes. So we worked closely with them to get the Publisher classes the way they wanted them. I mean, that kind of thing happened. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we didn't have a lot of day-to-day with them. Mm-hmm. We had did some serials training with the magazines, which involved cataloging as well as staff.
And so when Barbara Jo came on as the project assistant, was that after Gail had moved to marketing?
Yes, Gail moved to marketing about between when I was hired and when Kathy Jo was hired. So she moved to marketing and we did not get a replacement. Mm-hmm. She just moved to marketing. We got a trainer kind of instead. So so that's kind of when that happened.
Okay.
That
so for a time place. It was Amy, you, and Kathy Jo.
Right, for quite a while.
Until they brought on Barbara Jo.
Right.
Okay. And did your training, because now we're coming up near to the point where we got the new website and we started getting ebooks, I think.
Did we get the new website then?
Yeah, 2010 was the new website.
That's when we did ebooks.
Okay, and so
yep.
They came at the same time.
Yep.
Were you, because I know Amy sort of oversaw the website transition.
Right.
And then obviously the ebook as a resource. What was your involvement, if any, in those?
Kathy Jo and I didn't have anything to do with the website, per se. I mean, we were trained on how to write blogs and some of that stuff. At the same time, we were also doing SharePoint. Our very okay. similar time, they started SharePoint. And so we were training managers how to use SharePoint.
And so we didn't have SharePoint.
An intranet before then.
Okay. Do you remember? You said it was just about the same time as the website.
I think it was about 2009, 2010.
Okay. What was it like getting our first intranet?
It was very painful.
I think it still is.
As a trainer, because it would crash and people would delete their whole page accidentally, and it was very complicated software, and you had to follow specific rules. And I will say, it's kind of interesting as we look through the different things that we train. When we went to eTime and had electronic time cards, we had some legacy staff managers who said, this is too much work, I'm going to retire now. And then when we went to SharePoint, we had another big retirement phase because they were all like, I have to do this every week, I can't possibly remember all this stuff. And we're like, really, we're here to help you. You know. And some of them transitioned. You know, it wasn't like they all quit the day they learned it, but some of them, within a couple years, we had several who decided, yeah, it's getting too complicated.
Well, and I'm guessing it was a different experience because workflows, you're training the brand new staff who may or may not know anything about workflows versus SharePoint. You've got these people who have been in the system. You're training managers, not, basic staff.
Right. And the managers, for the most part, were not real young. I mean, a lot of our staff, when I was hired at Antioch, they had 11 full-time staff members. And I believe six of us were all born in the same year. And we were the middle. There was only one or two that were younger than us. So it was an older staff in general. And then, too, a lot of times when you're training the new employees, at least a third of or a half of them would be college students, you know, or fresh out of college, and they would be, you know, just little sponges, and everything would just, you know, fit into place. And then you would have a few people who were like retired doing the sub clerk positions, and they would have we'd have to take a little more time with them. But, it was interesting, you know, training all different sorts of employees.
And so, did you help when we started doing the ebooks? Were you involved in any of that support?
Yes.
At that point? Okay. Like just right out of the gate, you helped with?
Right out of the gate. We pretty much, Kathy Jo, myself, Amy Fisher in Information Services.
Was she the manager at that point?
Yes. And Amy Kavanis, the four of us took all the support calls for Overdrive. And before that, we had, it's now called RB Digital, but I can't quite remember what the name of it was originally. It was OneClick Digital, Net Library, Recorded Books, I think originally had audiobooks, but they had a support number, 800 support number. So anytime somebody called, you could help them a little bit. And then if you couldn't get past the problems, you just pass them off to that 800 number, and they'd spend hours on the phone with them.
Had you ever read an ebook before the library got them?
No.
No. So what was it like learning about Overdrive?
Well, that was the big challenge, was when Overdrive came on, they said, we don't do support. You have to do it all. So IT bought us some Sony readers, Kindle, and Nook, Barnes & Noble Nook. So we had three devices, and customers would call in, and we trained ourselves how to use those three devices, and then when customers called in, we'd get the device out, and we'd walk them through the steps as we did it again on the device. Because you can't see what the customer's doing, it was all done over the phone. And a typical phone call took 45 minutes. Because you were starting everyone from scratch, and the platform was clunky, and you had to download the book to your computer, and then you had to open it in Adobe Digital Editions, and then you had to move it to the Nook. And it was, you had to be able to find it on your computer, and there were a lot of customers that took it took my time for training and prepping for training was shrunk by at least half because we had so much time spent with ebooks that first year.
That was before there was any sort of wireless ebooks either. Like, it all had to be done through the computer with Adobe Digital Editions.
Yeah. Well, the, everything had to be plugged into a computer. Because even the Kindle, you had to plug your Kindle in even to get it from Amazon to sync. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it syncing. Well, we didn't even have Kindle books available the first year, maybe, because they didn't have a deal worked out with Amazon yet. Mm-hmm. So, and it would change about every 3 or 4 months because they were trying to make it better. Well, it's not good enough. Let's make it better. I'd be like, yeah, but no. I got a lot more phone calls. And the first couple years of ebooks, every holiday, you know, Mother's Day, my kids got me an ebook reader for Mother's Day. You know, Father's Day, my kids got me an ebook for Father's Day. Even Valentine's Day, we would have a big bump in support requests after every holiday.
Every gift-giving holiday.
Yes, yes.
And so you said that took up a lot of your time.
We were working a lot of hours, let's just put it that way, because we were exempt from overtime, so we were coming in early and staying late because we just had to do it. I mean, there were other things we had to do. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long after that, we had the database training committee as well, which was the same four people managing. We had maybe a half a dozen people who came in and wrote programs for databases so that they would have a PowerPoint that they could do at the branches to show people our databases. And we had a hard deadline when they all had to be done for goals that year. And I do remember Amy Fisher and I coming in on a Saturday because it was due like the next Tuesday, and we're like, we got to come in on a Saturday and finish that up. You know, we had one or two that we had to finish proofing and getting ready and making sure it was done. And so we met there. I don't know where Kathy, Jo, and Amy met. I'm sure they had something they had to do as well. So we were burning the midnight oil on those. So those were a lot of changes going on all at once.
So then for maybe the next couple of years, you were doing the workflows training, the branch visits, the OverDrive support. And do you remember any other, I guess, notable events in your position or in the library at large in the next couple of years?
Well, right before I got hired in library systems, we were transitioning to floating collection and the RFID. Mm. So that was right. Mm-hmm. The floating collection, I think, happened maybe a year before.
I think it was 2015.
2015? Okay.
So RFID was 2015. I do know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's when they brought in people in 2014 to do training. Like, I took training as a trainer in 2014, but it wasn't, all we had was a couple of machines set back in the back, and they were still working out how they worked at the branches.
And how was that transition? Did you help? I mean, did you go out and train all the branch staff on the new RFID or floating procedures?
Floating was more of a just here's what it does and here's how it works. So it was more like email definitions of what's going to happen. And but with the RFID, we were going to have to completely change all our practice materials. And it was a lot of work to set up the workflows classes so that we could use RFID. Plus, we had to have RFID pads on the stations in the lab, which had to be set up by IT. And all of that really didn't take place until I was in library systems. It was kind of a transition time there. And then they hired Mary Tanner at the time. She's Mary Masterson now. They hired her to replace me. So once she was hired, then she and Kathy Jo did that all that training. And I think they brought everyone into headquarters for the training.
Okay.
Like we did for Java. They all came up and did training.
And by that point, now we're into when Steve Potter was the library director.
Yes, Steve Potter was library director.
What was the transition like for you between being the electronic resources trainer and library systems? Actually, I don't even actually know your job
library
title.
Library systems specialist.
Specialist. And like, she's library systems. I know that.
Right. It was very different because library systems is a two-person department. It's just Todd and me. And in electronic resources, it had expanded. You were hired while I was there. So it was you and Barbara Jo, me and Kathy Jo, and...
Aaron had been hired by that point
Aaron
as a web developer.
Aaron had been hired as a web developer. So the department was getting bigger. We just, with the training, you had to... We trained workflows. By this time, we had split workflows into three classes. Intro, intermediate, and advanced. We were then using online tutorials to test the students after the classes, before the classes. You know, like they would come in and take a little test before they, in the intermediate, and again after, to find out what they forgot from the first class and what they could remember from that class. I mean, so there were a lot of things like that that we didn't have availability to do when I first got hired. So that was an interesting transition to using tutorials. We had tutorials on the intranet as like training materials. So for things that we didn't have time to train, we trained. Also, I forgot, we also did all the email training when we first got Outlook. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another one.
Was that in person, like bring every staff member in?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not sure that it was required training. Some of the things, like Java training, was required. But I think Outlook training was, if your staff need it, we have it. And then it was included in our workflows training for a while. You know, because when we got it into three, we had time in some of those classes where we could add little pieces of, you know, the website, the online catalog, the... E-Time, Outlook. And then we slowly whittled some of those things away so that we could concentrate more just on workflows. And then the branch managers took over some of the email training because as the different technologies become more commonplace, there wasn't a need for as much training either. Mm-hmm. You know, most people who are hired today have had an email account. So they're familiar enough that they can get around their email. Yeah.
When you saw that the library systems position had been posted, were you initially like, I'm going to apply for that? Or what was your process in deciding to switch departments there?
So part of it was I was kind of starting to look for something else to do in the library because I was really getting burned out on the workflows classes. if I could do something else, you know, just train... This, but the workflows classes, you know, 10 years of training the same platform, the same thing, it was getting a little. And we had classes every other week. You know, I trained workflows probably every week because we had either intermediate, advanced, or intro, you know, sometimes twice a week. So between the two of us, we were doing it all the time. So I thought, oh, that sounds really interesting, but I'm not real sure I'm qualified, you know. And so I had a good relationship with Todd because of the test server, training server, you know, production server. We worked closely with him when things, you know, weren't working right. And every time we had an upgrade, we would work closely with Todd over those kinds of things. I knew how to run reports because we ran reports on the test server, on the training server all the time. So I'm trying to decide, should I apply for this job or not? And I opened the newspaper one Sunday, and they have a Dilbert commercial, cartoon. And it had a person who came in and said, I'm the new person. And, you know, Dilbert's like, oh boy. And then the end of the cartoon was, well, I'm going to be in here asking you questions every single day. So I took it to Todd and I said, hey, would you mind if this is what my, you know, if I apply for this job, this is what it's going to be like for you. So is that okay? And he's like, yes, go ahead and apply for the job. So I did.
And so was it he interviewed you?
Todd and Brian Gash. And this is where I had to go back to my college days. I had some DOS training and I had some, you know, computer programming in my college days. And so that helped elevate my skill level so that I could actually qualify for the job. Mm-hmm. Because they, it wasn't required to have an MLS. They would have liked that. But because I had, you know, over 10 years experience working with workflows and knew the product in and out, knew the online catalog in and out, that was really instrumental in me getting the position. And I went to training to learn how to write the scripts for the thing. Had to learn some, took some lynda.com classes on Perl scripts and some of the other things that we used. So.
Was it a big learning curve moving to that? Okay.
It was a big learning curve for that part of it. In the end, when we decided to go to BiblioCommons for our online catalog.
And the first catalog was
Enterprise.
Well, I mean, not the first, but the previous catalog.
Right, the previous catalog was Enterprise because we had a transition from the first Circe product online catalog to Enterprise. And then from Enterprise to BiblioCommons.
And how long did we have Enterprise?
About 4 or 5 years.
Okay. And so then you guys, in about 2016, 17, 2016, we moved to BiblioCommons?
It was available to the public in January of 2017.
Okay. So
2016 is when we started training on it. I started training on it in September, October of 2016. And so that became a real primary focus for me to train staff how to use the new software, you know, get information out there to them so they could explain it to the customers, because every customer was going to have to create an online account. And, you know, people aren't always happy about that. Plus, I got the lovely job task of replying to every piece of feedback we got, because... Mm-hmm. In Enterprise, there was no format for feedback, except we had a few things on the website that you could send feedback on the website, but it wasn't easy to send it from Enterprise. And so from BiblioCommons, there's a little send feedback button on almost every page, so we got a lot of feedback from that.
And so, yeah, I was going to say, did you get a lot of pushback from staff and customers, or was it different kinds of pushback?
It was different. There were a few staff members here and there who were resistant to change, but for the most part, staff were very excited about the new features, about having a completed shelf, about a for later shelf, about being able to do things they couldn't do in Enterprise. They lost some things they could do, but they weren't big enough to want to give up the new features. So the staff transitioned fairly well. The staff who use online catalog. I think we have a lot of staff who don't personally use the online catalog. They just use workflows when they're at work.
True.
So that's that difference too. But I think it was a much easier transition than when we transitioned to Enterprise. Enterprise introduced them to a lot of things that they weren't used to doing. And so that took staff a little harder. It was a little harder for them to transition then. But from Enterprise to BiblioCommons wasn't as difficult.
But from the customer perspective, was there a lot of positive and or negative feedback?
Yes. In the beginning, we discovered that our online community was basically a lot of seniors. And they were not happy. I did a thing and sent it after about a year, maybe not quite that long. I think the first 6 months, I took all the feedback and rated it in an Excel spreadsheet is, you know, it. Some of it was already pre-rated as complaint or not, but I looked through and they had Excel help me, you know, with some special formulas to determine what it was. And we had, I think, at that time, 70% negative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a challenge to turn those people around. But the two consumer technology specialists mm-hmm. that do the online catalog class were essential to turning them around. And I did get a very nice comment from Eric once. He came back from a class. He said, I had 10 seniors in this class that all were recommended by you and their email, and they could not say enough nice things about you, about the way you responded, about the opportunities how you gave them specific directions to do what they wanted to do. And he said in the beginning they were all grumpy faced, and at the end they were all happy faced. So he said he was able to turn them around as well, you know, because they still were struggling with it. But, you know, once we got them into the classes, it made a huge difference.
Well, and since I do a lot of the feedback too, I think I've discovered that if you engage with them, then most of the time you can turn them around.
Right. And the thing is, I don't think they think people read them.
Mm-hmm.
So the nice thing about BiblioCommons is BiblioCommons does read every single piece of feedback. If they have somebody, that's all they do is read them. Because they're looking for trends and what do people really want. We read them and respond. And when we respond, sometimes they'll go, oh, thanks for responding. You know, because they just didn't know I was going to read it and actually respond. So I will say in the last 6 months for sure, we have noticed a big turnaround in that love it, hate it relationship. We get a lot more positive comments. I love it. I love the new, you know, the way to do it. I think we have a lot of younger people who are discovering it that didn't know they could place holds online. And they are just, you know, over the moon over that and being able to renew online. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of those positive comments that we weren't getting in the past.
How much of your job as a specialist would you say is feedback?
It's now it's slacked off. For a few months there, it was probably 20-30%, maybe 40%. I spent a lot of time on email.
And what is the rest of what you did?
I also, in the last year and a half, have been instrumental in the inventory training.
You mean when the branches go with their scanners?
Yes, and inventory the collection. We have inventory once a year, and that helps us track, because of floating, where everything actually is versus where the computer thinks it is. So we've changed systems twice since I got hired in library systems.
Systems being the inventory systems.
Okay. Right, the inventory process. Originally, it was just with workflows in a scanner, and they pulled every book off the shelf and scanned them. Then we switched to another product that we could put a wand in between the books, and it would scan multiple books at a time. And then this last year, we switched to a different company and a different product, but it does similar things. You just hold the wand in front of the books, and it scans. And it's much more robust program. So it took some training for that, too. So I had to train material. I had to create materials, train that. So in the end, I'm still doing a lot of training.
You're just training different things.
I'm just training different things, right. But the other thing I do is I've written reports for, the outreach department wanted a report that told them all of their outreach books by mail customers. They wanted them listed, their name, their address, their age, their the status of their books, when they were last active. I mean, they had this huge number of things that they wanted. And so I created a report that would gather that information, and then it emails it to them every month. So there are some reports that I've worked on like that. That's kind of what I think my replacement will probably be doing a little more of that, because some of these things, like the online catalog, the feedback is slowed down. Plus, it's been parsed out to a few more people because I'm going to be leaving. So to hold, you know, to take care of that while I'm in the interim as well. And the inventory process is getting easier. You know, staff, we've used this system. This year we're going to use the same system next year, so that's going to help. So I think there will be more of the report writing kind of things going on, that kind of stuff. And it's fun to do. It's just that it's got a lot of, you put a comma in the wrong place and it can mess up the whole report. So that is. And sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes they'll call in and say, well, the pick list didn't run, so I need to go in and restart it if Todd's not there, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of that kind of things too. Mm-hmm. I'm worked with the trainers on setting up a new way of doing their reports so that they don't have to recreate all their practice materials every time we have to refresh their server, which is it's usually only about once every couple years, but we're coming up on, they're going to need to do that soon. So we've been working on a new process that will save those books and reinstate them rather than having to manually do that.
Mm-hmm. So now we're in 2018. How would you describe the library culture now versus when you started in 2004?
In 2004, I think there was a lot larger disconnect between the branches and the headquarters, and I think branches felt very independent. You know, I'm part of the system, but we do things our way. Mm-hmm. I think there's less of that now. It's more, we're looking at everyone, and we're all part of the system. I think it feels more cohesive that way. In some ways there's a lot more transparency than there used to be, but then we do have some instances like the closing branches recently. I think they just had to make decisions too fast to include enough people in those decisions. They were rushed and didn't get all the information out to everyone that they needed to, and so I think a lot of it is time constraints, that they just need to plan on it taking a little more time, get it done right the first time, and figure some of that. Because we've had, in library systems, we've had to change how books are, like the books at the different closed branches, how do they display to the public? Or do they display to the public? Can we put holds on them? Is there going to be somebody who has access to the books that can get the holds? That wasn't really decided for each individual branch until the last minute, and then we were like scrambling trying to get that all to work.
Mm-hmm. So over the last 14 years, are there any people you might specifically remember as being favorites to work with, or that you have any specific memories? I mean, hopefully good memories. though, I mean, I guess you can share negative memories too, if you'd like.
I will say a lot of the branch managers were just really wonderful to work with. You would, you know, you'd run across a problem, you know, someone would email you and say, I have this customer and I need to do this and this and I can't figure out how to do it. And you'd talk to the branch manager and say, we've got this problem. And they would just step up and help out and do whatever they could. If they needed some extra training, at one point the genealogy staff was really struggling with registering customers because they hadn't been doing that when they were at the North Independence location, because they just sent them over, you know,
that
you
was
just
got to, was part of that staff.
Yeah, you have to go around to the other branch, to the other part of the building and register. We don't register cards up here. And then when they got their own building, they had to learn how to register cards. But they did it so seldom that they kept forgetting how to do it. And so there would be a lot of errors and a lot of mistakes. And I worked with Charlotte McIntosh and Cheryl Lang, and they were wonderful to work with. They sent their staff in. We did special training just for them, brought out the most common problems we had in Independence, you know, with people who were, if they lived in Independence, it didn't necessarily mean they were a public card. They could be a Kansas City reciprocal card, and I think the staff didn't realize that. That was one of the areas that we really worked with. So, you know, that, you know, when they needed special training, they would come to us, and it would be, you know, we were more than happy to work with them. And then we offered it to all branches, because it wasn't like only genealogy staff could come. Any branch manager who felt like their staff could use a refresher could send them, and several of the branch managers did. I know it was always fun to go to the branch visits at the tiny branches, like Edgerton and Weston and Camden Point. Phyllis at Camden Point was a really wonderful manager out there, and I thought she was a lot of fun to work with.
Well, do you have any other, now that we're at, I mean, we're at the end of your tenure at MCPL, any other memories or stories that you would like to share about your time?
I really, one of the things that I liked was when they started doing the staff day, closing the branches for staff development day. That was a big step for them as an organization to close the library. But I think that those days have become a really fun time for staff at different branches to reconnect. Because a lot of times the staff will move from branch to branch, you know, as positions become open and that. And it's nice to reconnect back with your friends in a, you know, in a laid-back day, you know, that's, and like the staff day we had where we all went to Chicken and Pickle in the evening. That's really a good way to keep the camaraderie and the morale up. So I like those. That's one of the things I do like.
Well, great. Any final thoughts?
It's been a great place to work, and every time I have to do a staff orientation, I tell them how wonderful Loggers is. Loggers is the whole reason I can retire early.
Well, awesome.
So
well, wonderful.
It's a great benefit that I think a lot of the young people just go, no big deal.
They'll appreciate it.
They will eventually.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have a wonderful time in your retirement.
Oh, thank you so much.